enrich our lives and make us better at who we are in Christ. Proverbs chapter 20. If you don't have a Bible, look in the pew in front of you. There are normally some stored there. Proverbs chapter 20, we'll look at verse 7. Very, very familiar passage to many of us. Very simple in what is stated, but the application is quite powerful. Proverbs chapter 7 says this. I'm reading out of the New King James Version of the Old Testament. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. The righteous man walks in his integrity. One translation says, the just man walks in his completeness. Of course, we know the word integrity is a mathematical term. An integer refers to a whole number. And so here the Holy Spirit is painting a picture for us of a man who is complete, who is whole, and because he walks that out in his life, his children who come behind him experience blessing. So I want to talk to you this morning just for a few minutes about legacy. Legacy is defined as something that is passed down from one generation to the next. Or specifically, something that has been bequeathed to someone else in a will. But we all leave a legacy to the generations that come behind us. And this is particularly important when it comes to fathers. We all leave a legacy. We're leaving something behind. You know, when my wife and I were in North Carolina, the day before we came back, we were at a public park in Mabin, North Carolina, and just enjoying ourselves. The kids are riding the carousel, including my wife. You know, the merry-go-round. And I got a phone call from a guy that I worked with here in Pennsylvania. And I thought it was work-related, but it wasn't. He said his mother had passed away. And I said, Phil, I'm so sorry to hear that. You know, because I knew his mother. Had met her a few times. Always a kind, gracious woman. And she was 91 years old. He said, well, I have a favor to ask you. I said, sure, anything. I thought he wanted me to cover his shift or something like that. He said, would you do the funeral service? Well, I wasn't expecting that, but I didn't hesitate. I said, sure, no problem. For you, anything. And so I had the privilege of doing her memorial service at a little church down in, actually, the funeral home in Corry, and then doing her burial in Mena, New York. But she was 91 years old, and her husband had passed away some 3 years ago, and he was 91 years old. And so I shared with their family, three boys, and of course one son has a couple daughters and a grandchild, that their parents left them a legacy. And on more than one level. I said, Mom and Dad both lived to 91. I told the boys, that bodes well for you. Because there's something in those genes that you had to pick up. It was like that, in a sense, in my grandfather's family. I often mention that my great-grandmother, and I shared this with them at the funeral, my great-grandmother, Mariah Mills Knowles, was born in 1861 in Virginia. Her mother was a slave. She died in 1968. She was 107 years old. And of all of her children, six of them, they all lived into their 90s, except one. I had one uncle, Irving, we called him Buster, who unfortunately was an alcoholic and smoked like a chimney, and he only made it to 85. So, but all of his siblings lived to at least 90. And so there was a legacy that had passed down genetically. But more importantly, their mother had passed some things down to them on a spiritual level that they needed to pick up on. And so it is with us, legacy. You know, that's the reason that God decided to use and establish a covenant with a man named Abraham. And it wasn't because Abraham was special. It wasn't because of his pedigree. His parents were heathens. You know what a heathen is? A heathen is somebody who doesn't know God. Wouldn't know God if he walked down the street in a red suit and a white hat, slapped him across the face. Now, they may think they know some things about God, but they really don't know God. So Abraham's family worshiped the moon. That's why God told him, get away from your folks and go to a land that I will show you of. But let me show you why God used Abraham. We're talking about legacy. Back up in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Why did God use this man and establish relationship with this man the way that he did? The Bible does tell us. Genesis chapter 18. And here is an instance when God communed with Abraham because he was about to bring judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's interesting the way the Bible relays the account and the story. The Lord went down and communed with Abraham with two angels. Notice Genesis 18, beginning with verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing that I'm doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Now, in the King James Version, it says it like this, verse 19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. God chose Abraham specifically for one reason. He knew that Abraham would pass down through the generations what God revealed to him. And he would teach his children legacy. Abraham established a legacy of faith in his children. It went to Isaac, and then it went to his grandsons. A legacy of faith. And that's why God chose the man. He knew he would command his children after him. Listen to me carefully. Whether you teach your children or not, you're still leaving a legacy. You are passing things down from generation to generation. Now, obviously, it is the will of God that you pass down good, godly, righteous things. Now, remember the passage that we began with. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Now, righteous man. Who's a righteous man? You know, we've often thought that righteousness was based on what you do. It's not. Righteousness is more appropriately based on who you are. Are you with me? If you're in Christ Jesus, you have been made the righteousness of God in him. There was a great exchange. Your spirit became alive unto God because of your faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit now resides on the inside of you. The same Holy Spirit that hovered over the waters and executed the will of God when God said, let there be, and there was. That same power lives in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, because of the life of God in you, and because you are the righteousness of God in him, you can begin to walk and live a life that is complete, that is whole, that is one of integrity. And when you do that, the legacy that you leave will bring blessing on future generations. There was a great abolitionist. We all know his name, Frederick Douglass. And if you didn't know this, Frederick Douglass has family in Meadville. He lived in Meadville for a brief period of time, and his grandson still lives there. Frederick Douglass, the great abolitionist and statesman, said this, and I think this is perhaps the most profound thing that he ever wrote. He said, "It is easier to build strong children than it is to repair broken men." I found that statement to be profound. Now listen, I'm in the ministry. I'm in the repair and broken men business. Y'all with me? That's what we do. But it's better to build strong children than having children grow up without a righteous legacy and live a broken life, and now they have to be repaired. We can do both, but one is easier than the other. You with me? Now, I want to bring this point home so you understand where I'm coming from. Last week, I was cutting my grass before we went to North Carolina, and I was pushing my mower in the backyard. You're probably thinking, "Pastor Bill, what in the world does this have to do with your message?" Hold on, I'll show you. And the handle on my lawnmower snapped on the right side. Because of the flexing and the torque and all the pushing, and it's probably a 10, 12-year-old lawnmower. Finally, the stress on that handle caused it to break right where the doohickey is. You know, where the handle goes up and down. Snapped right in half. Now listen, the lawnmower still runs. I can still start it up. It still cuts. I can still cut grass. But I cannot use it the way it was designed because it's broken. And there are many men and women who are functional. They get up and go to work. They have a family. They can do a lot of things, but their relationships are jacked up. Their integrity is jacked up. They're broken. Now, when I say broken, that doesn't mean that it's completely useless, it can't be used. No, it's functional. But there are areas where that thing just don't work right. Are you with me? The same can be true, the same can be said of a person. If we don't understand God's plan for our lives, if we're not walking in righteousness, taking advantage of redemption, we can be functional, we can be personable, we can be a great guy and be broken. And not work right. Are you with me? Amen. Well, thank God for the Word of God. Because not only can we build strong children, we can repair broken men. Remember that passage in the Old Testament that says, "Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and through knowledge all the chambers shall be filled with all precious and pleasant riches." Well, that word "builded," through wisdom is a house builded. The word "house," bayith, means family. And the word "builded" means to construct or to repair. And so there's that functionality of the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit where He will not only build into you God's purpose and plan, but if it's broken, He'll fix it. Amen. If you'll let Him. There's some people who want to stay broke. I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking about in their lives. They're broken. It don't work right. Well, I implore you, get that thing fixed. Amen? And so I took my lawnmower to a fellow who specializes in lawnmower repair. I said, "Joe, the handle snapped. I can't use it. Now, can I get out there and cut grass with it?" "Yeah, a one-hour job might take me 4 hours. I can limp the thing along." Well, who has time for that? I don't. Neither do you. There are some things you need to get fixed, and get fixed quickly. Because you're leaving a legacy. You're impacting future generations. You may or may not realize it, but it's happening nonetheless. Now, the New Testament gives us instruction. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long upon the earth. Then he goes on to say, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is a commandment to fathers in the New Testament. Don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, the upbringing, the care, and the admonition of the Lord. What does admonition mean? To admonish means to correct a fault, but to do it in a gentle way. And so we have a responsibility as fathers to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now listen to me, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but this is true nonetheless. We live in a generation where fatherhood has almost disappeared. Being a father means more than just having a male anatomy and a reproductive system that works. If you have a reproductive system that works, you can make a baby. But that does not mean that you have become a godly father. Are you with me? Fatherhood comes with responsibility. And you're not responsible to me, really. You know, people often think, well, See, when you're a pastor, people relate to you a little differently at times than they do, the guy next door. You know, you talk freely with the guy next door. When the pastor shows up, you're guarded, You don't talk like you normally talk. I've knocked on people's doors. And, who is it? It's Pastor Bill. Hurry up, put that away. I can hear him outside the door. Put that away. Get that out of there. I'm thinking, come on. What? I didn't get off the bus last night. Okay. I mean, I'd rather deal with people who are real. You don't have to hide anything. I can help you. Amen. But there are times people relate a little differently. But here's the thing that I want you to see. There's a responsibility that comes along with being a father. And we've read it from Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 7, a just man, a righteous man, walks in integrity and leaves a blessing after him, a godly legacy. Now, there are men who grew up like me. My father's influence in my life was limited. I love the man. I truly believe and hope he's in heaven. He mellowed out as he got older before he passed away. But there were times my father just wasn't there. He was gone. My parents divorced when I was 12. My mother raised us three kids by herself. I can tell you one thing. She was a woman of integrity. My wife and I, before we went to North Carolina, happened to go down and visit Whitsitt a couple weeks ago. I showed her where I grew up. And she said, this is the town? She said, it's only two blocks. I said, that's it. She said, you grew up in a two-block town. I said, I did. And while we were there, my aunt happened to come out, and we were talking, and she mentioned a man who had recently passed away. And I said, oh, sorry to hear that. But I remember that man. I'm too deep into this now. I can't back up. How do I get out of this one? Anyway, when I was in high school, I remember my mother. My mother was a very attractive woman, lovely, lovely woman. And a lot of men were interested in her. And at 12 years old, my mother was divorced. My father divorced her. So now I'm about 15. And I remember a guy coming over to the house. The news, I think, had gone off. It was after 11 o'clock, about 11:30. And I heard the knock on the door. Mother answered the door. "Who is it?" He said his name. I knew who he was. Everybody in town knew who he was. She said, "What are you doing here? It's after 11 o'clock." "Oh, I just wanted to talk, Dora May." He knew the kids were in bed. Mama never opened the door. Never opened the door. She wouldn't go there. Are you with me? And as long as she lived, she wouldn't go there. And the one thing I applaud and thank God for my mother, she passed a legacy to me. Her integrity. All right? She kept herself. And she didn't sleep around. And so that meant something to me. I was impressed with that. I had a man just say to me yesterday, "Hey, you staying out of trouble?" I said, "Yeah, that's easy." You know, and he looked at me kind of funny. He said, "Well, you know, and this is what he said to me, "Man, a lot of women like me." He says, I said, "Listen, I started doing this when I was a young man. It gets easier as you get older." See, but the opposite is also true. When you don't walk integrity as a young man, it gets easier to live that way when you're older. You ever see these old guys, you know, who all of a sudden you think they're crazy? You know, I was at a restaurant years ago, and there was an old preacher there hitting on women. Dude had a walker. "Hey, baby, what's y'all number? Let me call you." And it was so embarrassing. I think it all, and the older women knew, "Oh, Reverend so-and-so, there he goes again," you know. He didn't start that when he was an old man. He was doing that when he was a young man. A just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. You're leaving a legacy, whether you realize it or not. It can be a legacy of righteousness, or it can be a legacy of something else. But you're leaving a legacy. Now, how do we make sure we leave the right legacy? Remember Ephesians chapter 6. Bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The care, upbringing. And there are times you have to admonish to correct a fault in a gentle way. Alright? Now, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Let me show you the classic example of how to lead and how to have influence, especially with children. Proverbs chapter 4. And this is something that Solomon wrote. And these are some words that were told him by his father, David. Notice what he said. Proverbs 4, verse 1. "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine." The word doctrine simply means teaching. "Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." Now, his mother was Bathsheba. "He taught me also and said to me, let your heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, don't forget it, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you to honor when you embrace her. She shall give to your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to you. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many." Notice verse 11. "I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths." David said this to Solomon. He said, "I have taught you by precept, and I have led you by example." This is how you walk in integrity and leave a blessing. By precept and by example. You know, there was an old axiom that people used to say years ago when it came to parenting. They tell their kids, "You just do as I say, not as I do." That never worked, never will, never has. If you want to teach effectively, you do it by precept and by example. You know, these are things we often talk about in our men's meetings. Can I get a witness, guys? Amen. We talk about it all the time. You know, there are times I share things from my personal life, and people might think, why do you open up your personal life like that and share these things? For one reason only. I'm leading by example. If I can do it, you can do it. Amen? Been married to my wife for 2 years. Never cheated on her. Hey! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When I was married to Peggy for 32 years, never cheated on her. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what? Never will. Integrity. If I can do it, you can do it. Amen? Now listen. I don't care how good you preach. I don't care how good you teach. If you're broken in an area of your life, you got a problem. And God won't overlook it just because you're talented or gifted or anointed. Solomon wrote these words and learned them from David, his father. David had an adulterous affair with his mother, Bathsheba. Killed Uriah, her husband. Got caught. Got called on the carpet. But he repented. Nathan the prophet stuck his finger in his face and said, "You the man." And he said, "I have sinned. Forgive me." Nathan immediately said, "The Lord has put away your sin. But there will be ramifications." Here's one thing about David. Even though David was human and passionate and a man just like us, a man after God's own heart, he never made the same mistake twice. Amen? Ladies, when you're looking for that man that God has sent for you, when you go up to that fig tree, make sure there's fruit on it, not just leaves. Remember Jesus went to the fig tree, didn't find any fruit, found all these leaves. And he spoke to that thing because that thing spoke to him. He answered and said unto it, "Apocrinomai, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And the tree heard his words and died. Don't be impressed by the leaves. You need fruit. You with me? You need somebody who's going to walk in righteousness and who is complete, whole, not broken. Now, I'm not saying you're going to find the perfect person. But don't overlook major flaws. Don't overlook the broken handle on the lawnmower. When I do marriage counseling with couples, you know, premarital counseling, I have them list everything. What are the things you love? Oh, they're sweet. They smell. Yeah. What are the things you don't like? We talk about it. And then I'll say to people, are these deal breakers? Because they ain't going to change. I did that once with a couple and I said, you know, here's some major things. And you both acknowledge these exist. I said, are these deal breakers for you? The guy said, no. If it had been me, I'd have run for the hills. I'm like, oh no. But he said he's okay with it. Well, he married her. I didn't. Amen. But God is so wonderful. He can help you fix things. But don't be unrealistic in your expectations. Keep your standards high. Amen? Yeah, I knew I'd get it. A just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Listen, David said to Solomon, "I have taught you the right thing. I've led you the right way." Precept and example. Listen to me, men and women. This applies to all of us. You ready? You might want to write this down. You can't teach what you don't know. And you can't lead where you won't go. You can't teach what you don't know and you won't lead. You can't lead where you won't go. So this do as I say, not as, you know, not as I do thing doesn't work. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it." what that literally means is train up a child in the way he should live. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Doesn't mean they won't have bumps along the way. That's a part of growing up. But you need to be steady. You need to be sure. See, you know, if you're not willing to walk in integrity and be complete and be whole in your life, don't go around having a bunch of kids. You doom these kids to fail. Are you with me? I'm just being honest with you. You're hurting them. You're hurting them. You don't want to do that. Amen? Don't want to do that. All right, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'll wrap this up. Oh, this is getting heavy today. I don't mean it for it to be heavy, but I'm trying to help us all. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is a good example. We've been studying In Search of Timothy on Wednesday nights, and it's a very exciting study. I think we're going to do it again, maybe in a year or two. But excellent stuff. But notice, here's a letter that Paul, the apostle, wrote to Timothy. And he said this in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Notice verse 2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, notice this expression, from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Now that's a strange expression. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers. Very poor translation. The word from is the Greek word apo, A-P-O. And the word apo literally means because of. And so when you think about it, how can you serve God from your ancestors? Well, you don't. But you can serve God because of your ancestors. That's the point he was trying to get across. I serve God because of my forefathers. Now the word forefathers is the Greek word progonos. And it literally means a parent or a grandparent or an ancestor. And so Paul realized that there had been a legacy passed down to him from a parent or a grandparent or an ancestor. And because of that legacy, he was now serving God. Now, notice what else he said. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Notice verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that's in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it's in you also. So Paul recognized the legacy of faith that was in Timothy. Now, for those of you who may not know it, Timothy's father was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. But his mother was. And there came a time when Paul the Apostle took Timothy into one of the synagogues, and it caused an uproar, a near riot. And he even had Timothy circumcised. Still didn't help. You know, because these religious Jews were so offended that a Gentile would come into the house of God. You know, supposedly righteous indignation, right? A Gentile came into the house of God, so what do they want to do? Kill somebody. It shows you how unrighteous they really were. But Paul recognized this. There's a legacy of faith in you, and I saw that same faith in your grandma. And your grandma passed that same legacy of faith to your mother. And your mother passed that same legacy of faith to you. So listen, ladies, if you're a single parent, don't give up. You can leave a legacy as well. You can leave a legacy of faith, of diligence, of righteousness. I tell you what, my mother left a legacy to me. She may not realize it, but my mother took us to church every Sunday. My dad tried to get us not to go. He scared me. I went. Mother took me to that Billy Graham crusade where I gave my life to Jesus. My mother took me to that Catherine Kuhlman service where I was so influenced by the Holy Spirit. Mama passed down a legacy. She may not have realized it, but she did. And so can you. There are generations, some of them yet to be born, that you can influence in a godly, righteous way and leave a blessing for them. You don't have to necessarily be a father to do that. But fathers are built and equipped to do that. Amen? You're equipped to do that. That's part of your makeup, your DNA. That's what God created you to be. He created you to be a leader. He created you to be a mentor. He created you to lead by example and to lead by precept. See, we often think that manliness has to do with testosterone. You know, he's a protector. He's willing to fight for me. Well, you know, that's not really what a man is. You know? Manliness is not just aggression and testosterone. We've often think that if someone is not aggressive, that they're weak. You know, there's some people who think that, you know, the Bible said, Jesus said it, in fact, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Some people equate meekness with weakness. No. Meekness isn't weakness. Meekness is strength under control. You can be strong and out of control, and you'll end up in a place, you know, that's got bars on the doors, plexiglass for windows. They'll house you as long as they need to, till you get your mind right. Y'all remember Cool Hand Luke? Oh, yeah. Got to get your mind right, Luke. Got to get your mind. If you haven't seen that movie, it's a classic. I don't recommend everything that's in it, but it's funny. Yeah. Amen? Amen? You can leave a legacy as well as a female, but you need to leave a righteous legacy. Amen? Yeah. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll close with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it's only 12:15. Glory to God. How many of y'all used to getting out of church at 2:30? Been there, huh? Yeah, we don't do that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, just before Timothy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll start with verse 7. Paul, writing to this Gentile church, said, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. And you were witnesses of God, witnesses and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children." Notice that verse 11. "We exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God who has called you unto his kingdom and glory." Listen, as a parent, you have a responsibility to charge your children, to exhort them, and to comfort them. We live in a culture that's just gone crazy. You cannot leave your children to themselves and expect them to come out right. I'll say that again. You cannot leave your children to themselves and expect them to come out right. Bible says a child left to himself brings his parents to shame. You see him on the news. Read about him in the newspaper. Are you with me? Now, unfortunately, that's happened to some of us. Thank God, God knows how to repair things. Amen? Fatherhood comes with responsibility. We know motherhood does. Manliness, godliness, they're all intertwined. The essence of manliness is being like Jesus. Amen. It's not just being full of testosterone, being strong. Amen? Amen? Solomon was a strong dude. Not in himself, but by the Spirit of God. And he thought he could be strong and disregard godly principles. Well, when you do that, you put yourself in a dangerous situation. And eventually it blew up in his face and cost him his life. We can be strong in God. Here's a little sideline for you. Yeah, I think next, is it this year that Sight and Sound has Samson? Okay, we're going to see Samson in a few weeks. Because we're going to be out that way. But anyway, Samson, every depiction you've ever seen of Samson was what? Big muscle-bound guy? Big biceps? He didn't look like that. Samson did those mighty things because of the Spirit of God. Not because of his physical strength. In fact, his name in Hebrew, Shimshon, means little son. Now, if Solomon gets to heaven, you know, 50, 60, 100 years from now, you'll meet him, and you're going to look at him and say, "What? You? Are you kidding me? You're skinny. You're little." Samson didn't do those things because he was big. He did those things because of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because of the Spirit of might that came on him. Well, in the same manner, we can have the assistance of the Holy Spirit in living a life of integrity, completeness. Amen. Now, you may have some areas that are broken in your life. God will help you fix them. Amen? Amen? But you got to apply yourself to it. Don't ignore it. Think it's going to go away. Amen? Amen? God needs you. He needs you whole. He needs you repaired. He needs you fixed. Amen. See, my lawnmower is in the shop right now because I need it. My grass is growing. There'll come a time in a few days I need to get out there and cut that grass. There will come a time in the new future God's going to need you to respond to Him, and He can't use you while you busted. He needs you fixed, primed up, ready to go. Amen. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God.